We're in Genesis chapter 27. As we go through the patriarchs, made our way through Abraham and then to Isaac and Isaac's kids, and Isaac's kids being Jacob and Esau. You know what's great? God works with dysfunctional families. God can be glorified in a dysfunctional family, through a dysfunctional family. And I know some of you are going, oh, good, because, you know, at home it's a mess. No, you need to fix the mess. You know, bring it to God, because, you know, those types of things going on in homes where we're going to look at this chapter, which this chapter is just full of soap operas and Jerry Springer all the way. I cannot express to you this, it was so fun when Bridget and I first got saved and she was reading through Genesis. And, you know, I would go to work and I would come home and she, you know, just holding the Bible going, you wouldn't believe what's in this book. You wouldn't believe it. You know what? And she's telling me these soap opera stories and the way these people are dealing with one another. You know, you think that the Bible is this, you know, well, we thought it was just this holy book of rules and regulations and holy people who really did a good job following those rules and regulations. But it is a book about man's sinfulness and God's grace. That's what it's about. And today, we're going to see some man's sinfulness. Amazing. And it's that stuff that goes on in the house. Now, Isaac, we learned that he was a great guy, it would seem, but then he kind of like his dad, in that he lied to Abimelech about his wife. He didn't want to die, and so he lied and said, this woman is not my wife, she is my sister, so you can bring her into your harem and do what you want to her, just as long as you don't kill me. This was Isaac. He's the dad in the story today. This is about 1800 BC, by the way, right around that time. And so Esau, his firstborn by minutes, as Esau and Jacob are the twin sons, Esau, he was a guy who had given up his inheritance for a bowl of soup. He, in the last chapter in verse 34, we see that he became unequally yoked to a few different women. So lots of wives, and none of them were of God. And so Esau didn't have a real view. He didn't have a real vision for eternal things. He seemed never to think, not even eternally, but he didn't even think about a week from now. He's one of those guys that just thought, whatever itch I have today, I will scratch it regardless of what I know is going to happen to me a week from now because I'm scratching this itch. And then we have Jacob, whose name means heel catcher or supplanter, which he done already caught some of Esau's heel when he decided to bargain with his brother when his brother wanted that bowl of soup. He said, oh, because supplanter means somebody who takes the place of another and actually, as Webster's puts it, usually by deceit. And so Jacob, who we haven't seen any deceit from him yet until tonight, but he took and basically stole his brother's inheritance all over a bowl of soup. And so these are the characters. Now, Rebecca, she seems to be a nice lady till tonight. So I want to tell you what I'm going to be doing here tonight. I'm going to be making some judgments and sharing some opinions regarding the character of these people according to their behavior. I might be a little bit unfair to them. I might be a little hard on them. I might be a little cynical tonight. But understand something. Proverbs 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. In other words, you know who a person is by what they do. When a person behaves in any way, that will tell you who they really are. And we're going to see some behavior here. Now, something about these boys. They are actually, they're much older, and some estimate them to be even as old as 70. They might be anywhere between 50 and 70 years old. And when you read the story, they sound 12. All right? And you and I know some adults who sound 12. So it's not unrealistic. And but I want you to flash back to chapter 25 when these kids were born. It was before they were born when a fight was going on in there. And in that fight, you know what? Let me just go ahead and read it because it's going to serve as a backdrop to the whole chapter. She says in chapter 25, verse 22, the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. This was God's prophecy and promise to Rebecca about the babies in her womb. Well, the older would be Esau. He came out first. Jacob was the younger. And so God had already told her that Esau is going to serve Jacob. But it's not even a matter of the one person serving the other person, but one nation serving a nation. And we'll see when we get down to when Isaac gives the blessings, how that all played out. But the fact is, God chose Jacob. And God did not choose Esau. But that's not going to stop Isaac. Now, let's do this. Genesis chapter 27. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau his older son and said to him, my son. And he answered him, here I am. And then he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Okay, I'm going to not say anything for a couple more verses. I'm trying to stop myself. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food such as I love. And bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. All right, let's go back to verse 2 real quick as he says, I'm old. I don't know the day of my death. And they all thought he was going to die. He goes, why don't you give me one last meal before I die, and that way I can bless you. Commentators suggest that he was at about 137 years old, and at the time, he would die 43 years later. You don't know. You don't know. You might feel like you know. And it's horrible to think that he would actually live as a blind man for 43 years and have to have people leading him around. And so that was tough on Isaac, but God has his purpose. And I think even something you can just see on the surface, one purpose would probably be, here's Isaac predicting his death. And God says, no, you're not. You can't know. And so sometimes God will just go ahead and prove us wrong by keeping us around for a long time. So, you know. And with this, though, remember that this blessing that he's going to give. And as we look at it, and we'll see it as we get through the chapter, what the blessing is. What Isaac meant by this blessing was to give his eldest son the position that God had already given to the younger. God chose Jacob, you read it in chapter 25, but Isaac chose Esau. Now, I don't know whose fault it was, if it was Isaac's fault or it was Rebekah's fault. What do you mean? Well, it only says in chapter 25 that God spoke to Rebekah. This is what's going on. Two nations are fighting in your womb, but the older is going to serve the younger. And you know, and there's Rebekah going, ooh, I'll keep this from Isaac. I don't think she did. I think she told him. That's just, I think, a good guess. If I'm wrong about that, then we can definitely blame Rebekah for this problem. But I think I'd rather blame Isaac. Isaac wanted what he wanted, and he was going to somehow outwit God Almighty by quick getting a blessing to his older son before his younger son could get that blessing. And the blessing that he will bless him with, again, gives him the power and the authority. But one of my favorite proverbs forever has been Proverbs 21, verse 30. It says, there's no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. You can't do it. And I like, you know, NIV is not my favorite translation, but I like what the NIV says here. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. And so what we have here, and Isaac probably, if we interviewed Isaac right now on TV or the radio, we'd ask him, so what were you doing, trying to outwit God? I think if we said that to him, he'd say, oh no, not at all. You know, and maybe he would even believe that in his heart. Because I think some of the things that you and I do, we don't really think at all. We're just doing what we want. And we'll address God later. But it's just kind of sad. You know, we can expect the world to try to scheme against God. Remember Herod when Jesus was born. We read about it in Matthew. King Herod tried to have Jesus killed. And, or is that Luke? But he had to have Jesus killed as a baby. He was trying to foil God, because he even went to the scribe, said, hey, tell me in the scriptures where Messiah is going to be born. They gave him they said, oh, it says he's going to be in Bethlehem. He goes, all right, send all the army to Bethlehem. We're going to stop God. And in all reality, there's nothing stupider than trying to stop God. And so unbelievers try to stop God, but or try to foil God's plans in some way, but you know, when God's own children start to scheme against God, there's something desperately wrong. So what we have here is that Esau was Isaac's favorite. We had read that earlier, because he was a man of the field. He liked to hunt. He was a man's man. Jacob, you know, he liked to bake cookies. And mom loved him around the kitchen, you know. You know, Jacob wasn't afraid of his feminine side. You know, he was the guy that liked to, and he was not effeminate, please. But it's just that, you know, he had more interest in the things that Rebekah was into, and Esau had more interest in the things that Isaac was into. And so both of those parents had favorites. Already to have favorites is a bad idea. I didn't realize that I could not have, how do I say this? When Amy was born, you know, she was my favorite kid. And then I thought, when Bridget got pregnant with Sarah, you know, we both said, I don't know what we're going to do with this new baby. Because we really don't think we're going to even love it. Because we love this first one so much. How are we going to give any love to this kid? And somehow, some way, after Sarah was born, now we had two favorite kids. And then when Carrie Ann was born, we had three favorite kids. I don't know how God does it. But what really makes me happy about that is the fact that God has a lot of favorite kids. And that's just awesome. But when you play favoritism in the house, like I like this kid more than I like that kid, and then you start pitting one against another, talk about dysfunction, talk about sinfulness, talk about pure idiocy. Don't ever. Parents, don't ever favor one kid over another. You know, one kid might actually, you know what, you have the one kid who gets straight A's, right, in school, and the other kid who gets straight D's on a good year. And, you know, and one kid is just a little crazier than the other kid. Understand, the kid, the crazy kid with all the D's, well, that kid just probably needs a little more attention in some areas. But it certainly doesn't need you to just start favoring the good kid. There. I wasn't going to say any of that. I made all that up right here, actually. But it was kind of fun to make it up. But, so Esau was Isaac's favorite because, it's amazing, it didn't matter that Esau despised his inheritance. It didn't matter that Esau had married pagan wives. It didn't matter that Esau didn't care about what was going to happen next, that Esau was just kind of dopey-dopey-do. He really was. It didn't, that stuff didn't matter. But the main thing that really got to Isaac was he can track a deer. This is why he was going to try to foil God. Verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I just noticed something. You read this through 500 times when you're studying it, and I just noticed something. Listen to this. Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. Verse 6. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son. Some sick people going on here. I lost my place. There it is. So Rebekah spoke. Indeed, I heard your father speaking to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game, make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. Okay. So Isaac looks like he's getting in the way of what God had promised, and now she's trying to fix it. She believes that maybe Isaac's plan could foil God, so she's going to have to try to foil her husband. You know, I mean, and we all know that verse in the Bible, God helps those who help themselves. And so, that's good. I'm glad you laughed, even if it was a charity laugh. I'm glad because, then for those of you who said, well, yeah, I know that verse. Okay, it's not in the Bible, all right? There's no such thing as God helps those who help themselves. That is totally made up. You can't even find that in a fortune cookie. It is something that your mother told you for whatever reason that we don't understand. But it has no biblical ground whatsoever. But she's going to have to help herself to make sure that she gets the blessing on her son instead of Isaac getting the blessing on his son. What a mess. And so here they are. Or here she is, kind of trying to work out the promises of God by her own efforts, or should I say by means of the flesh. As you remember chapter 16, Abraham and Hagar. It's like, look, God's not doing it the way I think he ought to do it. Therefore, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to call it God's miracle, even though I'm the one who manipulated all of this. It's one of my favorite soapboxes, by the way, and that is that if God said it, then we don't need to help. Did God tell you? And this is the thing. First of all, the promises in God's word are the promises that you and I can just say, okay, it's there. It's a done deal. And so our job is to merely walk with God. The promises will happen. You don't have to help God along with his promises. It's just going to go down. Everything's going to go down the way he says. But some people get maybe a word from the Lord. They'll be in prayer and feel like the Lord told them something, you know. And so from that prayer or from that feeling they got, they say, God told me this. But it has been my experience with many people who have gone there, who have had that experience, that then they go stepping on people and being a pain in the neck as they attempt to achieve what they believe God told them he was going to give them. For instance, one of the biggest things that happened to me way back in the days, way back, it is way back now, 18 years since I've been in the music ministry, right? Holy guacamole. And there were so many people that wanted to be in music ministry. They played an instrument and they believed that God spoke to them. You are gonna be big for Jesus. I mean, you know, one man in particular, no kidding. He said he and a friend were praying and his friend just told him, saying, oh, the Lord's just told me that you are gonna be like big, big, big. You know what? If somebody tells you God says you're gonna be big, 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 that's not God, God, God. Because we are to decrease. He is to increase. God is to be big, big, big. We are to be small, small, small. Well, anyway, this guy just went on about his life trying to make himself big, big, big unto the Lord. And I will not even tell you the vile things that he did to people and stepping on his brothers and sisters only so that he can be heard with his guitar. You know, and that's where, you know, I met a lot of people like that. They say, oh, God's promised me I'm going to have a music ministry. And I love, you know, what Dwayne told me years ago. I was about a year old in the Lord, and he told me this, and I tell everybody this. I say, you think God wants you to be in the music ministry? They say, oh, yeah. I say, okay, well, then stop trying to be in the music ministry. What? Stop trying. Well, I got it. No, you don't. Because if it is God's promise, you can't stop him from making it happen. Oh, they hate that answer. But it's interesting. I've never met anybody who ever cheated and lied his way into cleaning the church toilets. Think about that. We all want something where we're going to be seen and we're going to be special. And people are going to go, dude, you're the, oh, God totally used you, man. But even though God totally used you with your toilet brush, nobody is going to go, you just totally blessed me, man. The way, man, I walked in that toilet, it was clean. I knew it was you. I never heard anybody, you know, in prayer say, you know, God wants me to be as invisible as possible and clean toilets without anybody knowing it. No, it's always, I want what I want, and I'm going to say God is the one who's driving it. You see? Please. And what I'm going to go ahead and, since we're here, I'm going to counsel Isaac and Rebecca. Don't do this. You don't have to do this. God is going to have his way, no matter if you try to fight against him or whether you try to help him. God is going to have his way. Our job is to just walk with him. God's will is going to be accomplished. Our job is to walk with him. Remember Genesis 17. That's the biggest lesson in all of Genesis. Genesis 17, verse 1. God says, Abram, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. That's it. That's your job. Be a Christian. That's our job. Be a Christian. Stop trying to force your way into God's will, whatever that means. I don't know. But now the family is completely divided. And it's not one as God intended. I'll tell you what. Think about your home. And the divisions that come about just because of the things that we want for ourselves. Now, if somebody's going to be, you know, if somebody's going to be creepy at home, make sure it's not you. If there's any division at home, make sure you're just walking with God. May you not be a part of the problem. But everybody's a part of the problem now. Except Esau. Really? Esau was just, okay. get deer. And verse 11. Oh no, I'm losing it. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, okay, now you've probably forgotten everything I just read up there. So she says, okay, this is what you do. You pretend to be Esau. You go, you know, I'm going to go fix you some food. You bring it to your dad. You pretend to be Esau. He's going to bless you. And then Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. Don't you love that word, seem? Isn't that amazing? You know, deceivers, liars, you know, and it's just been, it's been my experience. I don't know about your experience, but you know, liars don't see really any unrighteousness in themselves. I mean, those who are these, you know, this is how they live their lives. Because, you know, when they're caught, they really don't feel shame. They just feel misunderstood. Or they present themselves as being misunderstood. But, you know, Jacob, he is going to be a deceiver. He's not going to seem like a deceiver. He's going to be a real live deceiver. And later on, as we get on with Genesis, we're going to see that he is going to get what he gave. Because it's that sowing and reaping thing. Whatever seeds you plant, those are the trees that are going to grow. Whatever you give, that's what you're going to get. And that is a fact of life. And verse 13, but his mother said to him, let your curse be on me. I'll take the blame, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. That's his brother's stuff. And his mother made savory food, such as his father loved. I'm still kind of giggling over the fact that, you know, he sends out Esau to go get some wild game and she cooks a goat. And, but I'll tell you what I've learned about cooking, you know, I learned this from Kim Badenhop, you know, he can cook anything and make it the most beautiful tasting thing you've ever, I mean, he can find something on the street, you know, that's totally not even edible. He'll serve you a shoe. And you are certain that you have gone to heaven, you know? It is amazing. And so, yeah, you can definitely cook up goat to taste good. I've never had a goat. I don't know. But anyway, and he brought him. His mother made savory food such as father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. So she took goat skin and put it all over him with the hair and all that. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. It's just, I mean, this is just sad. I mean, really, the whole scene, they're playing it out. They're moving forward with their plans. Everybody here is self-willed, self-driven. And uh, But what's amazing here is that all are behaving this way. Think about this. All are behaving this way for the sake of one mortal man's magic words. In all reality, and I know I have some people that would disagree with me on this, but hold the thought, and I'm going to tie it all together. But they were acting on superstition. They didn't want a blessing from the mouth of Isaac to fall on the wrong person. They all believed that God could actually be foiled. You know, if God, for instance, wants to bless you, but I don't, I lose. God is the only one. There's nobody in this world ever, except Jesus himself, but every other person in this world, they don't have the power to take away God's blessing from you. They don't have the power to call a blessing on you that God didn't want to give you in the first place. But it was tradition, and it is a good thing to pray blessings over your children. But in all reality, they were really acting on superstition. Don't say that to him. Say it to him. You know, God's going to go up there. Oh, no, I hope he doesn't say it to Esau. Oh, it's going to ruin everything. I'm not going to be able to write the Bible. So, you know, no matter who Isaac blesses, God is the one who decides. He is the blesser. In verse 18, so he went to his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." Oh, and then he put on the Esau voice, I'm sure. "I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you found it so quickly, my son?" He said, "Yeah, go out there and hunt me some food." And the next thing you know, 2 minutes later, here it is. He says, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Wow. You know what? One foolish move after another. And in his lie, in his deception, now he brings God into it. We had this thing when we were kids that we could not bring God into a conversation unless it was an absolute truth. Remember that? Some of you kids may swear to God. If you said swear to God, then that means you can't be lying. And so that was our thing as kids. You know, said, "Hey, Mom said that I could have the pudding and that you can't." I'm the one who can have the pudding. Swear to God. No, she really said it. And we were like, we're tied to this thing. But even, I mean, but now that I belong to the Lord, I'm like, I think it is the most detestable thing you could do to lie to somebody and then bring God in on it. Swear to God. To say, "Hey, I'm Esau. And yeah, God helped me. God, the Lord." Look at as it says Lord here. That's not the Hebrew word Adonai. That is, you can tell by the way they printed it here in your Bible, all capital letters, that is the very name of God. YHWH. That is his covenant name. He brought God in on this to get his way. You know, and these are the chapters where they're so happy that many of us are not God, because we'd have been done with them. But God just, he watches because he knows who he's dealing with. And God is still bigger than all of this. Now, I'll skip that. I got, because I'm going too long. Anyway, let's keep going. I have a lot of great things to say. I need to go on. The Lord, your God, brought it to me. Oh, please. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you're really my son Esau or not. You know, because he knew, you know. Then Jacob went near to Esau, his father, and he felt him and said, well, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Can you imagine how hairy Esau really was? He was as hairy as a goat. And he didn't recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And then he said, are you really my son Esau? And he said, Yeah. And he said, bring it near to me and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him and he ate it, and he brought him wine and he drank. And then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing. That's because it's, well, and he blessed him, saying, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Okay. I want to perhaps maybe even over-spiritualize this to make a very true point. Isaac believes the deception according to what he felt rather than what he heard. What? He believes what he feels rather than what he hears. Rather than what he even knew. That's Jacob's voice I'm hearing. He didn't think his way through. It would have been impossible for Esau to get this food this quick. Let me feel you. Feel. No. Feels good. Do you realize that's how so many spiritually blind people arrive at what they believe to be the truth? By how it feels. Not by any other sense. Not by logic. We ought not follow our feelings, especially when our other senses are in disagreement. When we see things for what they really are as a fact, and our feelings agree with it, then our feelings are good. But our feelings are not the best things to use for making decisions. Our feelings can be very good, and they can be right on. But our feelings can deceive us. And Isaac was going to have to go by feelings because he couldn't see. Well, let's look at the blessing. Surely the smell of my son smells like a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, here comes the blessing. May God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. May God just give you everything you need to overflowing. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Who is this mother's son? This is Jacob. I mean, he's got this thing. He is going to squeeze Esau into this. But the blessing was meant for Jacob. Jacob will wrestle with God, and God will change his name to Israel. And I get ahead of myself. Oh, no, I am ahead of myself. I don't want to get there yet. But we know that Israel is the center of the universe. God has blessed Israel indeed. And throughout its history, as we read through the scriptures, there were the times where actually Esau's people, which would be Edom, were servants to Israel. But there would also be, of course, the other nations around them. But there, in the end, it will come down to Israel in the millennium with Jesus ruling and reigning in Jerusalem. So, and cursed is the famous thing that we should always remember: cursed be everyone who curses you, blessed be those who bless you. And that's why the United States needs to support Israel. As soon as we stop supporting Israel, you watch us go down. And we're kind of swirling down kind of slowly, as, you know, we're saying, well, you know, Israel's not so special. I'll tell you, they're more special than the United States, I'll tell you that much. But anyway, they're God's people, even if they don't like God. But that's another study all in itself. But this was intended for Jacob, and it came to Jacob out of the mouth of Isaac, who did indeed prophesy over Jacob at this time. But he thought he was giving it to Esau, and he thought he was putting Esau ahead of Jacob, no matter what God said about them before they were born. So Isaac, in my opinion, is blowing it big time. So Isaac thinks he's pulled a fast one. Isaac has deceived himself. And Jacob is now very pleased with himself. Think, oh good, now God can go ahead and do what he was going to do. Well, let's read on. Verse 30. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau's brother came in from his hunting. This is fun. I want to see the movie. Wouldn't this be just a great movie? He also had made savory food, brought it to his father, and said to his father, let my father arise and eat his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? And he said, I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where's the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed. Busted. Not really by Esau. Isaac was busted here. And we think that Jacob was busted. But it was really Isaac who was busted. Not by Esau, but by God. He trembled. God's will is going to be done. Now, I firmly believe that if Jacob had not deceived his father, say, you know, Jacob never tried any of this, that Isaac would have said those words over Esau, and God would have intervened and said no. I just don't think Isaac had the power to change God's plans. I just don't think you have the power to change God's plans. I don't think I have the power to change God's plans. But we have the choice of whether or not we want to be a part of God's plans. So, you know, we're not going to change the direction of the bus. The question is whether or not we want to be on the bus. And so, goodness. And just as Isaac said, you know, hey, I done blessed Jacob, and, you know, he shall be blessed. Isaac knew the truth. I think that it was Isaac's confession of God's will, not his confession or his confidence in his own words. That's my opinion on it. I believe that he's just saying, no, Jacob's going to be blessed. You know, I shouldn't have even tried this. But that's just my opinion on it. And you can share a different opinion, and you could be wrong. It's okay. When Esau heard, you're totally free. No, you know what, we don't really know, trying to get into people's heads, you know, but it's fun trying to get in their heads because, you know. But anyway, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. Oh, Isaac. And Esau said, look at it. I mean, everybody's doing it wrong. It's like that movie, the bad and the ugly, the good, the bad and the ugly. Remember the Mexican standoff? You know, you got three guys with guns and they're all pointing at each other and, you know, and nobody knows what to do, but they're all against each other. We got a Mexican standoff right here in Israel. And, you know, it's ridiculous. It's foolish. By the way, if you've never seen that movie, it's a classic and it's kind of weird. But that famous scene where they're all standing there with their guns is pretty funny. But like I said, you know, I want to see this movie here. Where am I? Oh, yeah. Okay, so I've totally lost my place. Where did I leave off? 36. Oh, yeah, okay. Esau, goodness. Is not he rightly named Jacob? You named him right. He's a supplanter. He took my place by deception, for he has supplanted me these two times. He took my place twice. He stole my inheritance, and now he's stolen my blessing. Wait, I'm trying not to give my editorial comments to Esau at this time. He took away my birthright, and now look, he's taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing? Have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master. I have made him your master. I have made him your master. That's something. And all his brethren, I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? Like, sorry, you know, you picked the wrong door. And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, oh my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17. The writer of Hebrews, which was written in the first century, so written 1,800 years after, says, lest there be any fornicator, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who, for one morsel of food, sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. He didn't seek repentance diligently with tears. He sought the blessing diligently with tears. But he had no place for repentance. Repentance from what? What did he do wrong? He didn't care about these things. And suddenly it wasn't there anymore. It was gone. And now he's screaming and crying because he didn't think he'd actually lose these things. And the Bible calls him profane. Now, I said earlier that God blessed Jacob and not Esau because God had chosen to bless Jacob and not Esau. That is clear from chapter 25. That is clear from Romans chapter 9. But here in Hebrews, it looks like God didn't bless him because he found no place for repentance. This is when we just have to deal with the foreknowledge of God. You know, if God were a gambling man, go to the horse races. Do you realize he would pick the winner every time? If God knows the future, he will always pick the winning horse. God knew Esau would come to this point with no intention of repenting, but weep bitterly over what he lost. This is a problem we see in the church today. People who are in sin, people who have been caught in sin, and they begin to lose everything, and they will come to the pastor, or they'll come to you, and they are weeping and crying for what they lost, not for what they had done. The only good thing you and I can do is be sorry for what we've done. And then the Lord will pick us up and we'll go from there. And so Esau doesn't see any fault in himself at all, you know. He didn't see any fault in despising his birthright, you know. But all of this now, it's like it's coming to a head with him. You know, he's the guy that went ahead and bought the zillion-dollar house because there were no payments until the year 2017. And 2017 arrives. And he says, oh no, what have I done? You set yourself up for this. That's what you've done. And then he blames his rotten brother for being rotten. By the way, he's not lying about his rotten brother. His brother's rotten. Jacob's rotten. I want you to know that God didn't choose the good one over the bad one. God chose Jacob because God chose Jacob. But also, Jacob was a little more interested in eternal things. And also Jacob, he didn't need to do all this. All this deceiving, all this conniving. But he'll learn. He'll figure it out. Verse 39. We're almost done, really. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, okay, so he says, I want a blessing. Give me a blessing. And this is kind of a drag blessing. It's like you just gave $1 million to one kid and the other kid comes up crying, well, I want one, and you give him a bean. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and the dew of the heaven from above. All right, okay, good. But, oh, by your sword, he didn't say but, I did. By your sword you shall live and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. Oh, well, there's some sort of good news. And that is, okay, so I'm going to be under my brother. He will be my master. But then when I get tired of it, then he's not going to be my master. And that's as the greatest blessing as I can get out of this, huh? Well, it's not him personally, but his posterity, his people. It would be about 1800 BC when this was going down. The Edomites, who were the descendants of Esau, would inhabit Mount Seir. And it was about 700 years after this was spoken. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 13 and 14. David made himself a name when he returned. This is King David now. When he returned from killing 8,000 Syrians in the Valley of Salt. He also put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom, he put garrisons. And all the Edomites became David's servants. And there it was, the fulfilled prophecy. But then 200 years later, under King, I think it was Joram, 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 20, it says, and in his days, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. And so for 200 years, approximately, verse 40 went down. But it didn't happen until 900 years later. And so it was a true prophecy. But it wasn't the one Esau was looking for. And so verse 41, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessings which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. By the way, what was it, 43 more years, 47 more years, something like that. So Isaac still got a little more life and the days of mourning weren't there yet. And good for Jacob, right? So I'm going to kill my brother. The words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now, you know what? You probably live in maybe there's difficulty in your home right now. Not this bad. I hope not. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran. and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Did you hear that? What you have done. Rebecca said, I can't believe you did that. Can I just say this? Isaac and Rebecca need parenting classes. Until your brother's anger turns away and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? And Rebecca said to Isaac, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? That was kind of weird. Verse 41 through 45, you know, this whole revenge thing, it's amazing that Esau then would continue in his worldly fashion. And he's just kind of, you know, this foolishness is growing like a snowball. You know, now he's planning to murder his own brother. But Rebecca, she's not going to see her son again, by the way. Rebecca is going to reap now because she sends her son away and she dies before she sees him again. So let's just, you know, let's give Rebecca a sarcastic good job. Good job, Rebecca. You know, just, it's amazing. Verse 46 again, I'm weary of the life of the daughters of Heth. And so she's worried about these guys. Yeah, the Canaanites that she's talking about there in that land. She's worried about them because they're troublemakers. I think that maybe Rebecca could have spent a little more time on her own walk without, you know, getting too worried about all the wickedness out there. And I think that, you know, it's a good thing for you and I to be a little more concerned with the wickedness in our own home. You know, and just because there's out there, there's drug dealers out there, and you might not be a drug dealer, but there's other just wrong things going on in your house. Be concerned with that wickedness first. Take care of it. Bring it to the Lord. Repent. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears it down. And Rebecca, she just done teared her house down. Okay, so in conclusion, if God wants to do something, he is going to do it. God is not blessed by the world's wisdom, methods, you know, our manipulations. He's not impressed or blessed with those things that we do in order to try to bring about God things or try to stop God things. God will bring it about. My job, your job is to walk with God. Be a Christian. That's all. Now here's the crazy wrinkle in all of this. Even by helping, like the way these guys did in this chapter, we can try to help God and just totally mess things up, but it's not going to foil what God has planned. We might incorporate what we believe to be wise methods in trying to get something godly done, or we might try to incorporate even evil methods. We might do the foolish things like lie to people to try to get them to come to church. Ugh. God will use every foolish thing we do. But we're going to suffer for it. Rebecca suffered for it. She suffered. Jacob suffered for his deception. He runs off and he's paranoid with his brother the rest of his life. Esau's just mad. Isaac spends the next 40-something years blind until he dies. I mean, we can just destroy ourselves. And God will still get done what he says he's going to get done. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says, you know, sin abounded, but grace abounded more. Isn't that awesome? That right now, in all of your whatever it may be, God's grace is bigger than all of that, and he's still God, and he's still doing what he said he's going to do. Yeah, but don't forget Romans 6:1. As Paul says, oh, well then let sin, so that grace may abound. And of course Paul says, no, perish the thought. He goes like, what are you, crazy? If you know God, you don't want to sin. Because you don't want to hurt others, you don't want to hurt yourself, and you don't want to hurt God. But if you do sin, we have an advocate. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is still God. He still loves you. And he's still working in your life. Wow. That's an amazing God who could take the mess of this chapter. And still, the plan keeps going. Woo! Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for all of the times we've knocked our heads on, you know, in corners and backed ourselves off the track or done whatever, Lord. I thank you that you are steady, that you're a rock, you are in charge, you're the boss, you are sovereign, you are God. Help us to do things your way. May we not deceive, manipulate, step all over people just so we can get what we think you promised us. But Lord, may we be small. May we be small in our own eyes, and that we would see you just great, wonderful, awesome, gracious God. Thank you, Lord. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.